Pakistan, June of 2009. Asia Bibi, a 37-year-old Pakistani woman from the village of Itanawali, was arrested by police on Friday, June 19, 2009. Asia is the wife of a 50-year-old Ashik Masih, and their family is one of only three Christian families in a village of 1,500 families. Many of the local women, including Asia, work on the farm of Muslim landowner Mohammed Idris. During their work, many of the Muslim women have pressured Asia to renounce Christianity and accept Islam. In June, the pressure became especially strong. On Friday, June 19th, there was an intense discussion among the women about their faith. The Muslim women told Asia about Islam, and Asia responded by telling them about her faith in Christ. Asia told the Muslim women Christ had died on the cross for her sins, then asked them what Muhammad had done for them. According to sources, she told them, "Jesus is alive, but Muhammad is dead. Our Christ is the true prophet of God," she reportedly told them, "and yours is not true." Upon hearing this, the Muslim women became angry and began to beat Asia. Then some men took her and locked her in a room. They announced from the mosque loudspeakers that she would be punished by having her face blackened and being paraded through the village on a donkey. Local Christians informed the police, who took Asia into custody before the Muslims could carry out their plan. She was held at the police station in Nakanas City. Christians there urged the police not to file blasphemy charges, but police claimed they were under pressure from local Muslim leaders. 17 months after Asia's arrest, she was convicted of violating subsection C of Pakistan's 295 blasphemy laws, blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad, and was sentenced to death. No Christian in Pakistan has ever been executed under the blasphemy law, but in several cases, extremists have murdered Christians after their release from prison. Asia's conviction and death sentence have brought international attention to the country's blasphemy laws. Christians have called for Asia's release and for a repeal of the laws, while extremists in Pakistan continue to demand that she be executed. I want you to consider tonight how Asia may be feeling this evening. Consider her plight. Consider the conditions where she is at. And I want you to consider how might she be interacting with God tonight. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. As we continue our series in the sufficiency of God's Word, and we look at this psalm, and tonight I believe God wants us to just really hone in on how we can handle persecution in difficult times. How can we pray for these dear believers? And there are many all over the world that are in prison tonight because they spoke out for Jesus Christ. I believe what we see tonight in the psalm is what we see a psalmist who is in a very similar situation as Asia. We see her in a situation where she is being persecuted and being pressured. And I want us to look and see her heart and her heart's cry out to God. Tonight, we're going to look at verses 145 through 160, Lord willing. Let me begin reading verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw near that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Consider mine afflictions and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Tonight, I believe God wants us to understand at least three specific things. For in a very real sense, we may someday find ourselves looking out from a prison cell because we have spoke out for the name of Christ. You have seen, we just talked about it tonight, about how churches in New York City are being evicted. Our government and our nation is increasingly becoming anti-Christian. Is it increasingly becoming favorable to other religions around this world? But Christianity is not tolerated. Tonight, I believe we can learn from the psalmist these three things. God hears our cries. God revives our hearts. And God knows our plight. God hears our cries. He revives our hearts. And He knows our plight. Now, as we look at the psalm tonight, I want you to keep those things in mind. Because these are important things for us to pray. Whether we are in prison or whether we are praying for those in prison because of their faith, we can pray that they will continue to cry out to God, that they will believe that He hears their cries. We need to pray that God would quicken their hearts, would revive their hearts and give them life. And we need to pray that they would be reminded that God knows right where they are. And God knows everything that's going on all around them. The psalmist, 145, I cried or called out with my whole heart. Hear me. Answer me. Respond to me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee. Save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. God hears our cries. Why can we say that? Well, we see the psalmist continually crying out to the Lord. He believes God is hearing him. And so he cries out to him. God hears my cries, therefore I cry out to him, and I keep obeying his word. You see that here. He repeats it. I cried, and after each time he says, I will keep thy statutes. I shall keep thy testimonies. He's believing God's hearing him. He believes it. And there's tremendous hope when you believe that God is hearing your cries. Think about Daniel. He's not told what took place in the lion's den exactly, but he's thrown in the lion's den, he's left there all night. Now he explains that an angel came and shut the lion's mouths. But what happened between the time when the angel came and he was put down in there? I don't know, maybe the angel came right away, I don't know. But nevertheless, Daniel had to trust in his God and what he believed to be true about him. God hears our cries. So cry out to him and keep obeying his word. Verse 147, I prevented, and the King James uses that word, prevented, which means I anticipated the dawning of the morning or the twilight, and I cried for help. This word, cried, is different than what was used in the first two verses, and this word is specifically used for a cry for help. And so here we see the psalmist, he's crying out for help, and as he anticipates the twilight, as he anticipates the light of a new day, he finds himself crying out for help. I hoped, or I waited, I expected in your word. I had a hope in your word. Verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches. My eyes anticipated, or have gone before the night watches, this that I might meditate in thy word. The description here, and I believe this is very interesting, that the psalmist uses this term watches. This is speaking of how guards would guard a city or perhaps a prison. And they would take turns throughout the night. Every 3 or 4 hours, it would be a new watch. And what the psalmist is saying here is, I am so aware of what is going on. And so much so that I am crying out to God throughout the night. My eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. This word meditate is the idea of to talk of, to muse over, to ponder upon. Can you imagine being in a prison and probably deny the scriptures? What would you do all night long? In between your moments of sleep, I trust that God would be on your heart and you would spend time talking about or pondering the precious word of God that you have had in your heart. The psalmist says, hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. This word quicken is a word that's to revive. And the Lord throughout this psalm is looked upon as one who revives our hearts or revives our bodies. And so not only do we learn that God hears our cries, but God revives our hearts. Therefore, I keep on believing in the loving kindness of God. You know, the psalmist, he makes this cry, quicken me, quicken me, quicken me, quicken me, many times in the verses that we read tonight, and many times over in the rest of this psalm. I want you to notice with me, we see, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment, 149. I want you to notice 154. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Notice 156. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. I want you to notice 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. You think the psalmist believed that God could revive him? That God had the power to breathe new life into his soul? I have to tell you that it would be a very discouraging thing tonight to be arrested and taken to a jail for my faith. My heart would be heavy. I would be thinking about my family, my church, those that care about me. And I would be distressed and distraught. Such is the case of Asia, and you'll find out as I read more later. Dear ones, we've got to believe not only that God hears our cries, but that He will revive our hearts. So keep on believing in the loving kindness of God. Notice again, verse 149. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. Again, this is that word chesed. It's that word that means goodness, kindness, faithfulness, covenant loyalty. That's the kind of God that we serve. And we see that loving kindness again in verse 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. According to your goodness, your kindness. And so, may we pray for people that they will hold on to the loving kindness of God, that He is good and kind, and that that thought would revive their hearts, even in the darkest of places and the most challenging of days. Verse 150, they draw nigh, and I want you to picture this. I believe we can picture this. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. This means that they are approaching, or they have approached those that have pursued after wickedness. Can you hear with me the footsteps coming down the hall to your jail cell? The very ones that have arrested you and taken you from your family are coming down the hall, and they are drawing near. They follow after wickedness. And notice what the psalmist says. He says, they follow after wickedness. They are far from thy law. He describes them in comparison to in a relationship with God and His Word. The psalmist is looking at a situation and the people around him, and he is making distinctions based upon how they are related to the Word of God. Are they walking according to the Word? Or are they far from the Word? Wow! What a way to look at people! To use God's Word as a measuring stick. And so they draw near, and the psalmist says, they are far from thy law. Verse 151, thou art near. Notice the same word, close at hand, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. I think this is beautiful. Because you have the psalmist paint the picture. The wicked are coming near me. Their hearts are far from the law. But Lord, you are near me. You're near to me. And all your commandments are truth. So notice how the psalmist is looking at things. They are far from my law, but Lord, you and your word is close to me. You're near me. Do you pray for these beloved believers that are in prison across the world, that they would recognize the presence of God? That He is near to them? Do you recognize that the Lord is near to you? God hears my cries. God revives my heart. God knows my plight. Therefore, I see the wicked for who they really are. People far away from God. If you look down at verse 157, the psalmist says, many are my persecutors, many are my pursuers, it's another way to say that, and mine enemies, yet do I not decline or turn aside from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors, the deceitful, the faithless ones, and was grieved. This means to loathe or be disgusted or affected with anguish. He was grieved because they kept not thy word. What grieved the psalmist? The grief in this context here was not necessarily his plight, but it was that of those who were persecuting him. He grieved, he was disgusted, because they kept not God's word. Yes, his life was made very difficult as a result of their treachery, their faithlessness. But yet the psalmist believes that God knows his plight. He knows that the Lord is near to him And so he holds on to God's word as truth. He believes that God's truth will be forever and eternal. Did you notice 151? Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Another way you could say this and understand truth is your commandments are a firmness, a stable place, a reliable place. You know, truth, it's reliable, isn't it? It's always firm, it's solid, it's sure. And the psalmist looks at the commandments of God as something stable upon which he can rest. And not only that, he believes that they are forever and ever. This is not a truth that is applied to this one day, but it works for today. And God's word, its truth, lasts for tomorrow, and for the day after that, and for the week after that, and the week after that, the month, the year, the years after. God's word is truth forever. Verse 152, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old or of ancient times that thou hast founded them forever. These two stanzas, and notice tonight we're covering two stanzas. And we're doing that because I was just overwhelmed by how similar they are. Notice the last two verses of the following stanza, 150, verses 159 and 160. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true. Same word is used previously. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments, what? Endureth forever. And so we see the psalmist repeating these concepts of God's word is truth, and it lasts forever. And it has been founded in the very beginning. It was established in the very beginning by God. God, hear my cry. I believe you do, so I'm going to keep crying out to you. And I'm going to keep obeying your word. Oh God, revive my heart. Quicken me. I'm going to keep on believing in the loving kindness of God. Oh God, you know my plight. You are near to me. Therefore, I'm going to see the wicked for who they really are, people that are far away from your word. I'm going to hold on to your word as truth. And I'm going to believe that that truth is going to last forever and ever. An update to Asia's situation. About 4 or 5 months later, October 14th, Asia Bibi appeared in court in Pakistan. She spent some time with her family before the court appearance. She said she prays every day at 3 a.m. I thank God that the jail administration has good behavior with me, she said. I don't have trouble from them, but I miss my daughters and family. Please arrange my soon release from jail, Asia told these contacts. Asia's daughters were visibly upset when they met her. The little daughter was continuously asking her mother, Mama, when are you coming back home? And Isha, the eldest daughter, cried and hugged her mother and would not let her go. A little over a year later, on November 17th, Asia Bibi's attorneys filed an appeal against the death sentence she received after being convicted of blasphemy. Her husband, Ashik, asked believers to continue praying for his family. Please pray for my wife, asking God to release her soon, Ashik said. Please spread the news all over the world and appeal for prayer for me, my wife, and our children. I am praying for those helping me and thankful to these sources. We are encouraged to send a letter of encouragement to Asia, letting her know you are praying for her. Another update about another year later. So this is about a year and a half after she was in prison. A Pakistani newspaper reported Asia Bibi was tortured in prison last week, but her husband, Ishiq, says it's not true. Asia is detained in a special high-security cell that only jail management can access. A new female prison officer got angry with Asia, but others intervened before the officer could beat Asia. The woman was suspended for 3 months by jail management. Through Ishiq, Asia said, "The jail management is good to me. One of the officers is particularly caring toward Asia. Thank the Lord he's caring for Asia. Even in prison, continue to ask for her release." And finally, in January of 2012, Asia's husband and an aid worker had the opportunity to visit Asia in late January, and they brought back a positive report. Asia had a smiley face full of joy and thanksgiving, said our worker. Asia told them, "I am very thankful for this visit. I am happy and fine. I am praying every day. I am strong in my faith. I know that this is the test of my faith, and I know to make gold, it must be purified in the fire. I am strong in my faith, and I know that God will release me. I pray that God forgives the people who blame me." "Consider my afflictions and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law," verse 153. "Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Lord Jesus, thank you for challenging our hearts tonight. I thank you for this testimony of Asia, and we pray for her tonight, for her soon release. Lord, we want to pray for her strength, and that you would revive her heart tonight. I want to pray, Lord, that you would remind her that yes, you do hear her cries for deliverance. And I pray, Father, that you would revive her heart and remind her that you know her plight. God, spark our hearts. May we be a people that have a tremendous faith and trust in the stability and firmness of your word. And may it be such that when we are in difficult times, in being challenged for our faith, we will stand and we will trust you. Father, we don't know when these days will come. Lord, we do not ask them to come. But Lord, we only ask for a strength to stand for the truth if and when they do come. I pray that you would go with your people tonight and challenge our hearts to remember to pray for those dear ones all over the world that are suffering this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.